Today I will be reading from Mark chapter 11, verses 15 through 17, and Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 11. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were selling and buying there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. "Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust deceptive words and say, 'This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord.' If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, the land I give your ancestors forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you have not known? And then come stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, 'We are safe, safe to do all these detestable things?' Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord."
Our technology and everything work right this morning. Let's say a prayer. Thank you, God, for your servant, Alex Awad. Bless, hear our, open our ears, open our mind, open our hearts as we listened to your words. Bless the words that Alex gives to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, and thank you. Can you hear me now? All right. Assalamu alaikum. Wow, that was impressive. Okay, assalamu alaikum. I'm going to continue in Arabic. You're so good. All right. Well, first of all, I want to say my wife and I are thankful for the invitation. Thank you for inviting us to come and share with you in the Sunday school class and here in the sanctuary. And actually, this is the last Mennonite speaking engagement I have in 2 years, because after the Mennonite conference in Kansas City, Mennonites asked me to go to different Mennonite conferences and churches and try to help them understand what's happening in the Holy Land. So I've been doing it for the last 2 years, and this is the last time I do it, and then we have the conference, and guys, I'll meet you in Florida in about a week's time. Yeah, so I'm thankful. It has been a wonderful experience for us to have met Mennonites all the way from the East Coast to the West Coast, all the way from the South, as far south as Arizona, all the way to North, almost Canada. So we've been speaking to Mennonite congregations, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience with great hospitality, and it's wonderful people. My experience with the Mennonites is really a long experience, because I felt Mennonite hospitality when I was a little child, even before I knew how to pronounce the word Mennonite. I was a child, I was in an orphanage because my father was killed in the first Arab-Israeli war, so my mother put us in orphanages, all seven children. And in the orphanage, every Christmas, I will get a bundle. And that bundle is really a towel. And inside that towel, there will be some goodies. And I would open the towel, and there will be maybe a toothbrush, a toothpaste, a soap, a little toy, a notebook, just different things. But for me, that was the only Christmas gift I got. And I was so excited. Now, I didn't know the Mennonites did those towels, you know, and put the things in them. I had no idea. And then I became the director of the Mennonite school in Beit Jala, near Bethlehem. And as a director, we were receiving shipments from Mennonites in the United States. And the shipments contained some of these towels and also cans of beef. Some of you may have be aware of those cans of beef. And now I was the one who was passing those bundles of precious, wonderful things to the little, to the young people in my school. I was the principal. And I was told that these come from the Mennonites. So I connected my time when I was a child receiving them with the time now I was an adult and I was passing them to the children. So, well, I want to say, on behalf of all Palestinians, I want to say thank you. You've been with the Palestinian people since 1948. Since most of us lost our homes and we became refugees, most Christians were praising, you know, Israel and, you know, saying Israel, Israel is the apple of God's eyes, and they were not looking at the tragedy that was happening to the Palestinians. But you came along with the Mennonites and with the Methodists and others, and you stood in solidarity with the oppressed people in the Holy Land. And I'm very, very thankful for that. And the thing about it, since the conflict continues, you continue to do it. And I praise God for that. I've been on the advisory board of the MCC, Mennonite Central Committee, in the Holy Land and in Jordan, and I'm aware of all the stuff that you are doing around the world, and I praise God for you. Okay, now we'll get to the PowerPoint. I'm going to talk today briefly on the subject of what occupies the temple. Okay, can we have the first picture? It's there. All right. So you can see the title, Who and What Occupies the Temple? Who and What Occupies the Temple? You know, today in Israel, there's a lot of conflict, and especially over the area we call the Temple Mount. This picture is taken from Mount Olives. As you are going down from Mount Olives into Jerusalem, you will see what we call the Temple Mount area. Today, what you see in the center of this picture is what we call the Dome of the Rock. It's a holy place for Muslims, but at one time, it was a holy place for the Jewish people, and at one time, Jesus went into that area, and he was healing the sick people, and he was preaching the good news to people. So, who occupies, or who should occupy that place? This is an Arabic, it says Shanine Mubarakeh, which means Happy Palm Sunday. So this is a Palestinian artist making an illustration of Palm Sunday in Jerusalem. And that happens on the slope going from Mount Olives all the way to Jerusalem. Now, this area is what we call the Temple Mount area. This is the most critical piece of land around the world. Why? because there are about 2 billion Muslims in the world who think this is one of their holiest shrine. All the Jewish people in the world, especially religious Jews, they think this territory should become their territory and they should build their temple on it. And for us Christians, this is where many, many things happen in the Old Testament and the New Testament that remind us of God's salvation, of God's redeeming act. All right, so this is what we call the Temple Mount area. Who should own this property? And who should own the temple? Who should occupy the temple? This is the question that I'm going to share with you this morning. Okay, this is a replica of the temple. This is not a real building. This is an artist replica. If you go to Jerusalem, your tour guide may get you to a place, and in that place you can see Jerusalem as it was during the time of Jesus. And one outstanding building in that replica will be a replica of the temple in Jerusalem. It must have been quite a great building at that time in history. Okay, here is a problem. The problem now, many Jewish leaders, such as this man here, they believe that Israel should destroy the Islamic shrines and build the third temple in place of the Muslim shrines, which are the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And some Jewish people are very, very excited about that possibility. And many Muslims around the world are concerned about that possibility. Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian president, he is complaining that the Jewish settlers have one incursion after the other on the Temple Mount area because they want to build a third temple in place of the Islamic temple. And that concerns him because that makes the Palestinians want to rebel, and it makes Muslims around the world also rebel about what's happening in that spot of land. Jewish MKs. MKs is not missionary kids, it is members of Knesset. Jewish MKs call for a building of the third Jewish temple in Jerusalem. Quite something, you know, when you want to build your temple in an area where about 2 billion people think this is our holy sacred ground, that makes a big, big problem. You know, I mean, imagine you waking up this morning and decide you want to have an extension on your house, but you want to do your extension on the house on a property that belongs to your neighbor. And of course, your neighbor said, hey, you know, my great-great ancestors about 2,000 years ago owned that property. Well, it doesn't work, but this is exactly what is happening right now in the Holy Land. All right? One-third of Israeli Jews want the temple built in Jerusalem. Well, my eye doctor will be very proud of me because I read it all the way from there, okay? But one-third of Israeli Jews are saying, you know, they want to rebuild the Jewish temple in place, of course, of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. What about Orthodox Jews? Let me maybe read it from here. Among religious Jews, questions, 43% support reconstruction of Jewish shrine. However, the poll also reveals that more than 31% among Israeli secular Jews also support such an initiative. So you can see, religious Jews and secular Jews want to rebuild a third temple in place of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Noble Sanctuary. Now, of course, if the Jewish people decide to do that, it will create problems. Even now, as the Jewish people are talking about it, it's aggravating Palestinians. Sometimes on your TV screens, you see a picture of a Palestinian young man throwing rocks at Israeli soldiers. And you wonder why those crazy Palestinians are doing this, because it puts them in harm's way. They could be shot and killed, or they could be taken and put in jail for life just for throwing stones at Israeli soldiers. But why are they doing it? Because their heart is burning when they hear Israeli members of the Knesset threatening to destroy their holy shrines to build Jewish temple over them. And so I put them in points: unrest in the Middle East, future wars and bloody conflicts, end of the church in the Holy Lands and in the Middle East, failure of future peace initiatives. This is what will happen if the Israelis to actually take that property and destroy the Islamic shrines and try to build their third temple in place of these Islamic shrines. One of the casualties will be the church in the Holy Land. Why? Because that will create such a turmoil between Jews and Muslims, and Christians are going to be in between. And the situation will become so unbearable to the Christians that the remaining Christians in the Holy Land will decide to leave the country. And that will be the consequence, or at least one of the consequences. But another consequence, imagine 2 billion Muslims are angry. You can just think what would be the result. Okay, now I'm going to get to my text from the New Testament, and the lady read it really nicely. But this is from Mark 11, 15 to 17. We see Jesus going into the temple, the same area that I showed you, and Jesus is noticing that people are buying and selling and doing all kinds of business, and he gets upset. And he tells the people, my house is a house of prayer, and you have turned it into a den of thieves, a den of robbers. So why was Jesus so upset? And here I give some of the reasons why Jesus was so upset. First, the shady business that was going on, corruption in the temple, jealousy. They were so jealous of Jesus and his disciples. Hate, violence, the violence, they took Jesus and they put him on the cross. What more? Racism. They did all of this business in an area in the temple called the Court of the Gentiles. That's where Gentiles from all over the world used to come to Jerusalem to worship the God of Israel. And so here in the Court of the Gentiles, they brought all the animals and all the sheep and all the pigeons, and they were doing a lot of business in the Court of the Gentiles. And when Jesus saw this, he said, my house is a house of prayer. And then he said, for all nations, not for just Jewish people, but for all nations. And you have turned it into a den of thieves. My house will be a house of prayer for all nations, but I would add also, my house is a house of praise. It's a house of joy. It's a house of intercession. It's a house of healing. It's a house of learning, teaching. It's a house of ministry and action, a house of fellowship, a house of outreach and advocacy. And this is a house of the Lord. You know why it's the house of the Lord? Just as you sang in the first song. It's because as you come, the Spirit of God comes with you. The Spirit of God is within you. And as we gather as God's children, men and women, in the name of Jesus, then the presence of God is with us. And where the presence of God, there is the temple of the Lord. There is the house of God. Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Can you imagine? Jesus said, this is the house of the Lord. And then the next day he say, there will not be one stone on the top of the other stone. All of it is going to be destroyed. Well, Jesus, if this is your house, why do you want to destroy it? And Jesus was walking away when his disciples came upon it to call the attention to its buildings. Do you see all of these things? He asked. Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on the other. Everyone will be thrown down. Why? And of course, Jesus will explain to the disciples the sins that are happening in and around the temple are the reason why the temple is going to be destroyed. But yet, God always have another plan. And the other plan is to build another temple. And that other temple is the body of Christ coming out from the tomb. And it is the church coming out from that redemption that Christ have done for us on the cross. Now, also, the lady read Jeremiah. And these are powerful verses. Jeremiah would not come inside the church to preach. He started preaching outside at the door where the people were coming. God told him, stand outside the temple, and as the people come, preach to them. And what was he preaching? He was saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. You feel safe because you are going into the temple of the Lord? Well, don't feel safe. This temple is going to be destroyed. Why, Jeremiah? Why would God want to destroy the temple? And Jeremiah say, you are indulging in sin and in corruption. You are doing so much injustice. And you think that you can go into the temple of the Lord and be safe? He said, there will be no safety at all as long as you continue to indulge in your sin. Amazing verses, even from the Old Testament. And even Jeremiah said to them, my house is a house of prayer, says the Lord, and you are turning it into a den of thieves. Has this house which bears my name become a den of thieves? I will thrust you from my presence. There is a consequence. If we, as God's people, no matter where we are, whether it is in the Holy Land, in China, in Russia, in Korea, in India, wherever we may be, if we are not careful how to deal with the temple of God, with the presence of God, there are consequences. And we see them in the Old Testament, but we also see them in the New Testament. So where is the temple of God today? Some of you may have visited some of these places, you know, whether it's in Jerusalem or Latin America or somewhere in Southeast Asia, or the Mormon temple not too far away, Salt Lake City, or Mecca, or the White Temple in Thailand, or Hagia Sophia, or Italy, whatever. There are beautiful temples all over the world. Which temple God prefers? None of them. I mean, they are all nice for tourists. We can go visit with them. And there is nothing wrong to go and worship in any of these temples. But the actual temple where God dwells in is really your heart and my heart. That's what the New Testament teaches us. Okay, where is the temple today? Here it is. Do you not know, Paul is saying, that your body is temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Wow, this is revolutionary. This is really revolutionary. When Paul says to the Corinthians, hey, guys, it's not that temple in your city. It's not the temple in Jerusalem. It's not any temple in the world. It is your body. God lives in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God wants to dwell within you. That is a revolutionary 2,000 years ago, but really it is revolutionary today. When you, young people, old people, middle-aged people, when you think, every one of us, God has chosen us to be his dwelling place, and God wants to live in us. It's an amazing thing. Anybody says hallelujah or amen? You really are Mennonites, aren't you? But God wants to live in us. This is exciting. God wants to be in us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to dwell in us. He wants to communicate with us. Our God is within us, and we need to be excited about this. All right. Now look at these three verses. One of them is from Jeremiah. One of them is from the Corinthians. And one of them is from the book of Hebrews. All of them have some words in common. And what are these words in common? I will be their God, and they will be my people. I will be their God, and they will be my people. I will be their God, and they will be my people. What does that say? God wants to dwell with us. He wants to be our God, and he wants us to be our people. Whether it is in the Old Testament, whether it is Corinthians who are Gentiles who believed in Jesus Christ, or whether they are Messianic Jews, the people that the book of Hebrews are written for. But the idea is, wherever there are people on earth who are willing to receive the grace of God, God wants to live in them and be their God, and God will be with them. What should occupy the temple which is you? Okay, now we agree with Paul that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. All right, if you and me are the temple of the Holy Spirit, what should go into that temple? What if Jesus will come and knock at the door of the temple and we invite him in, what shall we expect in that temple? And here are a few things that Jesus expects. It's a prayer, praise, and worship, love, joy, peace, patience, humility, forgiveness, truth, courage, fellowship with God, with God's people, healing, and salvation. When God looks at us, that's what he expects inside our hearts and minds. And when we come together, also as the temple of the living God, when we come to church, this is what God expects from us in our churches and in our lives. And I'm certain it is. You know, wherever I go to Mennonite churches, I see praise, I see thanksgiving, I see wonderful singing. Not only this, I hear about all the good that they are doing in the community and also all the good that they are doing around the world. And I would say, Mennonites, you can say thank you, God, for all your mercies on us and for whatever you are doing in us and through us to be a blessing to the world around us. So, what shall occupy the church in America? You, this is Peter. We talked about Paul. Now, this is Peter. Peter is saying, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Spiritual house. In Arabic, we say bayt. Bayt means home. We don't say house, because a house can be like a building. God doesn't necessarily want a building. God wants a home where he can live. And God chose you to be his home. That's the great, wonderful Christian message, the New Testament message, that God chose every one of us to be his home. God wants to dwell in you. You are a stone in that building which makes the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this is it. God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to speak with you. Since God has asked us to be his home, let's make that home clean, pure, and let us say to Jesus as he knocks at the doors of our homes, we say, come, Lord Jesus, dwell in me and make me your temple and use me as you wish. God bless you. Amen.